Hey, it's Rhett Matthew from the Cannon Fire Podcast, and I want to tell you about a great new sponsor. I tell you this, man, I love betting my friends, all things sports. I'll bet them on anything. Different games, player props, all of that is what the Kutt app allows me to do. Kutt, K-U-T-T, is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's legal in 40-plus U.S. states. Kutt has customizable odds, tracking capabilities, and an entire social network with group chats, user profiles, and rewards. All payments accepted, no need for Venmo. So what are we going to be betting on this week? NBA basketball is in full swing after the All-Star break. NHL has been making us a lot of money. Use our promo code BELEAVEBUCKS, B-L-E-A-V, BUCKS, B-U-C-S, for a 10% welcome deposit bonus. Don't forget that promo code BELEAVEBUCKS, B-L-E-A-V-B-U-C-S. Kutt, put your money where your mouth is.
I want to hear cannons. Outfield, pop, ball to the five, touchdown Tampa Bay. Mike Evans does it again. Fire the cannons, Bucks.
It's first and goal. That's picked off. That's picked off. And who else? Rondé Barber. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers may ride to the Super Bowl with that one.
Third down, 18. Dropping Gannon, looking Gannon, looking Gannon. Those up on the
head. It's intercepted. Derek Brooks, 30. Brooks to the 29. He's 20. Gone. Derek Brooks all the way. There it is. The dagger's in. We're going to win the Super Bowl.
And there the cannons go. Gannon. Fire them. Keep on firing them.
Welcome to Draft Month, Bucks fans. We are live on YouTube today for a brand new episode of the Cannon Fire Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Rhett Matthew. Joined alongside me, my good buddy and co-host from BucksNation.com, Evan Wanish. In a kickoff draft month, I think there is really nothing better that we could do than get on here and recap what was an incredibly busy free agency period for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I know that every podcast we've done over the last month and a half has kind of been talking about free agency, but we took a little bit of a break, wanted to let the dust settle. And now as we set our sights towards the 2024 NFL draft, we will take a look back at what was one of the more productive free agency periods in Tampa Bay Buccaneers history. I know we did a lot of sucking up to Jason Light in the front office, but Evan, quite frankly, they deserved it, man. This was one of the more memorable free agencies in a while for Tampa Bay.
Yeah, you know, and it was a tall task, obviously, with the timing of everything, I guess. You know, you have guys like Antoine Winfield Jr., Mike Evans, Lavonte David that need to be re-signed. But then you also have guys like Baker Mayfield, who, you know, before the season, you weren't really sure, like, what path was it going to go down? Was he going to go down the Geno Smith path where, you know, you play well and then you end up getting that second contract, or was it not going to work out? It did work out, and the Buccaneers were probably going to have to pay Baker Mayfield maybe even a little bit more than they imagined they would have, you know, in training camp of, you know, this past year. So it was definitely some tough waters to navigate. Not only did they retain Antoine Winfield Jr., they retained Mike Evans, they retained Lavonte David, they retained Baker Mayfield, but they also added some depth in some areas that matter, and they added, you know, a starting safety, which was a priority, obviously. It's a guy who Bucks fans are very familiar with, obviously, you know, Jordan Whitehead. And they added some depth in the cornerback room. They added some depth along the offensive line. Was it perfect? No, there's still some areas, but that's why there is a thing called the NFL draft. And, you know, I'm sure they'll look to address more of those areas in, you know, just over 3 weeks here. And, you know, that's what we're going to be covering the next, you know, few shows. So this is going to sort of, you know, put a cap on free agency. We're not really going to be discussing the contracts of Mike Evans and Baker Mayfield too much now, you know, from now on, because this is sort of the closeout show for free agency. So, but yeah, a tremendous job by the Bucks front office here.
Yeah, and I think what was most exciting, you know, gearing up for free agency, obviously the daunting list of free agents the Bucks had, the list of guys that they wanted to retain. But I think it was the idea that this offseason held so much weight in deciding what direction this team was going to go. You know, at the end of the season, the Bucks are in the postseason, and we're still talking about scenarios where maybe Todd Bowles doesn't come back as head coach. Maybe Baker Mayfield decides the grass may be greener somewhere else. Maybe Mike Evans decides to go get paid somewhere else. It felt like there was a lot on the line, and, you know, a lot of the moves that we're going to talk about today, it could have just taken one of those moves to turn out differently for everything else to trickle down and have a different effect. Mike Evans could have been playing in Houston. Baker Mayfield could have ended up somewhere else, maybe in Washington. Like, you know, these are not any legitimate rumors that were happening at the time. But, I mean, while it was rumor season, you did hear a lot of things heating up about guys like Baker Mayfield, Mike Evans, even Lavonte David potentially looking elsewhere in free agency. So things shake out the way that they did for the Bucs. They have a very impressive, in my opinion, maybe I'm a little biased, but I think it was an impressive free agency. And today, over the next 45 minutes or so, we're going to break down every single move in order and grade it. So here we go. Let's kick things off with the big man himself. We'll start with the two biggest contracts for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The first one, re-signing wide receiver Mike Evans to a two-year, $52 million deal. Now, at face value, it is still a two-year, $52 million. But I know the Bucs did move some money around. Mike Evans has been no stranger to restructures on his contract during his time with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This story, really no different here. But for the Bucs to bring back a guy like Mike Evans, we've talked time and time again just how important that is for the future of any franchise, but especially a franchise like the Bucs, being at such a pivotal point they were to start the offseason.
Yeah, obviously. And look, it's Mike Evans couldn't play anywhere else, right? And that was really echoed by Jason Light, by Mike Evans himself, and obviously by, I would say, 99% of the fan base, right? If people were imagining Mike Evans in another uniform, it wasn't necessarily because it's something that they wanted. It wasn't necessarily like, oh, they are ready to move on, right? I don't think much of the fan base, if any of the fan base, was like that. It was just the fact that they sort of thought it was a real possibility. And look, it was. I mean, it appeared that he was destined to hit the open market for the first time in his career. And was he going to potentially, you know, ring chase with a Kansas City, right? Try and get another Super Bowl. You know, I'm not saying Tampa Bay can't win a Super Bowl, but who has the better odds of winning the Super Bowl next year? It's probably Kansas City, you know. Would he go to the up-and-coming Houston team that has a lot of cap space? Probably would be able to pay more than the Buccaneers will be able to pay. So I do think that there was definitely some options for Mike Evans out there, and I think it made some fans a little bit nervous. But at the end of the day, Tampa's where he wanted to be. The Bucs is, you know, obviously they wanted him back, and ultimately they got a deal done that made sense for both sides. So, and like you said, it's a two-year, $52 million deal. A lot of these contracts nowadays, right? They're not exactly how they appear. So, but it is, I think, like I said, a contract that works for both sides, is team friendly and gives Mike Evans that little bit of security there. And, you know, it's, you know, a buck for life is what they've really been saying and stuff. And it sounds like he wants to play more than 2 years. So it's not going to really cement him as a buck for life per se, but it's going to go a long way in doing that. Because to me, this felt like the one time, like the one, I guess, win window that you could potentially see Mike Evans in another team's uniform, and obviously that's not going to happen.
Yeah, this move, putting a grade on it, I don't think you can grade it anything less than an A. I don't even think you have to be a Bucs fan to feel that way, just because of, one, the outside interest that we knew Mike Evans was having. I mean, reports were out there that all of these teams were calling the Bucs, trying to get hold of Mike Evans and his agent during that negotiation period. Like, there were a lot of teams in on the Mike Evans sweepstakes, but, you know, getting a guy like that back for your franchise, you know the effect that he's going to have for your team, for the locker room, and of course for the offense. Now the Bucs with another first-year offensive coordinator, so having a staple like Mike Evans is that much more important. But on top of that, you continue to keep this guy in Tampa Bay for what you hope will be the rest of his career. Now, the Bucs even branded the move themselves, calling him right, a Buck for life. Mike Evans said he wants to be a Buck for life. That is what he told his agent. So take it from him. I think he's a man of his word. I'd like to believe that once contract time pops back up here in a couple of seasons, if he does decide to come back, he will decide to come back in the red and pewter. But I think all of those things, plus the fact that it was a team-friendly deal, Mike Evans finally gets his payday, but it's still good value for the Bucs to keep around a perennial Hall of Famer. It's an A on my grade. What do you got?
Yeah, I also gave it an A, and if you want a written version where, I mean, not really going to have anything that we don't talk about today, but if you want a written version, I did write something a few weeks ago on BucksNation.com grading the NFL free agency for the Buccaneers, and I gave it an A as well. I just, yeah, it just, it seems like you said, it's hard to give it anything less than an A. So yeah, that's pretty much it.
Let's move on to the next biggest contract from free agency. I believe I said this on the show before, and I still have not seen otherwise. I believe the first $100 million deal in Tampa Bay Buccaneers history. It went to quarterback Baker Mayfield on a three-year, $100 million deal.
Of course, like of all the great players that they've had, and I understand the cap rise and stuff and the market and stuff like that, like what position you play in, like that matters. And like Tristan Wirfs might be the next one. Anton Winfield might be the next one. But like, it is funny. It is going to be a good trivia question, you know, like in 10 years, 15 years, whatever, who was the first Buccaneers player to reach a $100 million contract, like on value, you know, total value. It being Baker Mayfield is pretty funny.
Yeah, so 3 years, $100 mil for the quarterback. The Bucs have made their decision, and they have locked up Baker Mayfield to be their quarterback for the near future. I'm going to go A-. I know some people might feel differently. Some people might think it is a better or worse move. I wanted to go B+, but you know, I've done a lot of bragging on Baker's behalf here the second half of the season. After that Green Bay game, the Jacksonville game, like, I was on the Baker train. I like Baker. I like rooting for him. And as a Bucs fan, I look forward to seeing what he can do with a consistent system. I know it's another first-year offensive coordinator, so I think, unfortunately, some of the excuses are going to be there still if he struggles this upcoming season. But the reason I give this an A-, and I wanted to go B+, but I went A- because, again, I like Baker. I like him as our QB. I don't think there were a lot of better options out there. But the reason this is an A-, and you probably feel the same way, is as much good as I have said about Baker Mayfield, and I know the comments are not going to love this take, you still don't know. Yeah. You still don't know. You do not know 100% beyond a shadow of a doubt that this can be the guy to take you to the Super Bowl. I believe he can be. I believe he has the tool set. I believe he has the personnel around him. And I would like to believe that he has a good enough offensive coordinator who can replicate the success that he had last year with another
first-year offensive coordinator. You don't know if that offensive coordinator is going to be successful either.
Correct. Right? Like, for Baker Mayfield to have the season that he did in 2023, a lot of things had to go right. And luckily for him, luckily for the Bucs, luckily for Todd Bowles, all of those things did go right, but I find myself looking at the offense under Liam Cohen next season, and I know that they re-signed all these pieces. I know that we can build off of a lot of the great stuff that we saw last season, but I still get the feeling that a lot of stuff has to go right, and I'm curious to see what your take is on this, but my grade is an A- for Baker.
Yeah, this is one where I am going to talk about the details of the contract a little bit more. Just to get out in front of it, I also gave this a minus grade. And look, like, we didn't talk at all, you know, before this. Like, we're not sitting here saying like, oh, we're gonna both gonna. This is just our reactions right here. We had not discussed this at all. We had not planned this at all. So, the reason I gave it an A- and not in the B's is because it is essentially a 2-year contract. It could actually be a 1-year contract. I forget. I think Brad Spielberger, a PFF, is like their like big like cap guy, and he said like, I don't know how, but they said like, if things are like really bad and like certain things aren't met in the contract or whatever, the Bucs could actually be able to get out of it after 1 year. And like I said, I don't know how likely that is, what would have to happen, whatever. But if the Bucs truly want to, you know, move on, like, immediately, they could. But basically, there is a clear out after 2 years. So it says a 3-year deal. It's essentially a 2-year deal because a lot of that guaranteed money is in the first 2 years. And they would be able to cut Baker Mayfield after year two with a very small dead cap hit then. So that's why, to me, this being a 2-year deal, it ensures you have a quarterback for 2024 and 2025 and even 2026 if he plays well. But also, if he struggles, which he still can, because again, yeah, you don't know how he's going to mesh with this offense, right? You don't know, and the thing that's been an issue for him in his career has been consistency. So, like, we don't know how consistent he's going to be. if you want to move on, you can. So I think this is sort of a perfect deal as far as the Buccaneers go. Is it a lot of money? Yeah, it's a lot of money to a guy who, at the end of the day, is he worth that money? You don't know. But at the end of the day, it's also what the market is. It's just what it is for quarterbacks, right? And that's just how it's going to be. And that's why I'm not really too hung up on the end, like, dollar amount. Because, look, I think it makes him, what, the 16th or 15th highest paid quarterback in the NFL? It's right in the middle. Like, yeah. It's average, you know? So I think if you're getting above average quarterback play with that cap in, I think it's a win, and that's why I grade an A- here.
Yeah, I think a lot of people were scared hearing the number, you know, north of $30 million. I don't think enough people understand that that's just simply the price for a starting quarterback in the NFL these days. You know, the cap continues to go up. The market value of different positions continues to go up, quarterback being one of them. And if you want a serviceable quarterback, which is what I think most people would say Baker Mayfield is, at least a serviceable quarterback. The people who don't like Baker would say that for the Bucs last year, he was a serviceable quarterback. And if that's what you want in the NFL, I think right around $30 million a year is going to be your bottom dollar. But at the end of the day, my personal opinion, I think Baker's going to be just fine. I don't think we are living in the scenario where the Bucs go out next season and he has one of his all-time worst seasons, knock on wood. I don't think that happens. I don't want to believe that happens, but there is a possibility. There's a possibility with any quarterback in the NFL. We saw what happened with Tom Brady in 2022. That Tom still had the juice, but I think a lot of people agreed it wasn't the same guy, and none of us expected that to happen. So any given Sunday in the NFL, you never know what could happen. I think the possibility of a collapse is more than most people would like to think, but I think he'll be fine. I think the team's going to be fine. Real quick, before we move on to our next couple of free agent topics here, I wanted to get your thoughts on this. While we are talking about expectations for the Buccaneers in the 2024 season, a 9-8 record last year to win the NFC South, an 8-9 record the year before to win the NFC South. It's no secret the NFC South is not in great shape, but aside from that, the Buccaneers' win total projection was released over under 8.5 for the 2024 season. What do you think? And this segment is sponsored by our friends over at Cut.
Right in between where it was, right? Like the odds makers, whoever makes those, it matters, right? There's a reason why it's set there, and that's a tricky one. It is. Obviously, you know, like you said, the NFC South, it's not, you know, the Panthers still seem to have a ways to go. The Saints seem like they're going to be, you know, again, like an average type team. And then, you know, I think your biggest threat is obviously Atlanta, you know, with Kirk Cousins. And I think Atlanta is improved, because at the end of the day, like, as long as Kirk Cousins is healthy enough, like, and doesn't come, you know, isn't a complete shell of himself after that major injury, like, yeah, Kirk Cousins is better than Desmond Ridder. Like, he much better than Desmond Ridder, actually. I mean, 8.5 is tough. I would say right now, I would say, without obviously a schedule being released or whatever, not know when the bye weeks are, not know when anything like that are, we know the opponents, but, and before the draft, man. Yeah, Vegas is good at this. I would say slightly over, because I could see 9 wins. I could see 10 wins. I mean, but you could also see 8 wins. I struggle to see. I think things would have to go pretty bad for them to be under 8 wins. But it's a good one. That is a good one.
No, it stumped me at work this morning. I saw it. I had to think long and hard. I also agree where I can see 9 wins. I can see 10 wins. I can see 8 wins, but I don't know if I can see 7 or 6 or 5 or anything below that. But just a little thinking bug got to me this morning, and I wanted to get your thoughts. Let's get back on track here. Back to the free agency moves. This is a big one. Buccaneers franchise tag Antoine Winfield Jr. Now, I believe this is subject to change at any given moment.
So it can. It can change right now.
Right. I mean, we could still hear about a long-term extension for a guy like Antoine Winfield Jr. between the recording of this podcast and the start of the NFL season. But as we are grading it right now, we are grading this move as the Buccaneers picking up Antoine Winfield on the franchise tag for for 2024. If it's on the franchise tag, you still get brownie points for not letting Antoine Winfield Jr. leave Tampa. Like we said on the show, even during the season, I think the first 6 weeks of the season, we said, hey, one way or another, Winfield's going to be back in Tampa. Right. He is not leaving, and it may come on the franchise tag. If that is the case, then I'm going to give this a I'm going to give it a B-. And the reason I don't love it, one, is just because of the money attached to paying a guy on the franchise tag. The market value for a safety of Antoine Winfield Jr.'s position is still going to break the bank, and you cannot affect what his cap hit is going to be for the 2024 season. You know, another big theme for the offseason, or for free agency in particular, was value. And the Bucks have been value shopping for the last 2 years, it seems like. But you don't want, you don't want that money associated with Antoine Winfield Jr. And if he goes out, plays on the franchise tag, and plays even better next season, you're going to have to pay him like it. And I think the Bucks can still have a scenario where they pay him his money this offseason, and by next year, if he's still playing like a top three safety in the NFL, you can look back at it just like the Mike Evans contract and be like, man, that's really good value. Hats off to Jason Light in that front office for seemingly doing it again. But I'm not crazy about this with him on the tag, so B minus.
Yeah, and the thing about when you said like, oh man, they could be good value, barring another unexpected pandemic or world stoppage, the cap's going to keep rising, right? Like the cap is going to keep going up year after year after year. So yeah, getting done now is going to be cheaper than if you wait a year, you know, and then let's say the cap goes up another 10, 12 million next year. Well, then you're going to be paying a little bit more. So I gave it a C plus, largely because I do think like it limited their flexibility this offseason by not just getting the long-term deal done. Because right now, if they got the deal done, they could open up 10, maybe even a little bit over $10 million in cap space. So like it did limit their flexibility by doing that. I know obviously they had to do it because if they weren't going to get a long-term deal done, I think we actually said this before free agency where like we both agreed if the Bucks let Antoine Winfield go the open market, the Bucks were not going to be retaining Antoine Winfield Jr. It's just I think somebody would have gave him a lot of money and I don't think it would have worked out in Tampa. So they had to keep him, right? And this was the one way to keep him. Now they have until, I believe, sometime in July. I don't know it might be like July 15th, might be the exact date. They have to work out a long-term deal. And, you know, they could do that. But, like, let's say you get a deal done July 10th. Okay. You free up $10 million. What good is that $10 million do you in July? Like, not going to do much, right? Like, there's slim pickings on the market at that point. So it did limit your flexibility this offseason. But you had to get a deal done. And I even mentioned in the article, I said, even if they get a deal done at a later date, even, you know, and I do believe that's the case, I don't think Antoine Winfield's going to play on the franchise tag. It's fine, but like I said, a C-plus, I think, is a fine grade for a fine move. So, like I said, that's the only thing. Like, keeping him was a must, but the way they did it isn't the best.
Let me sidebar here and talk to you about another player that came into the league the same season, and there's been a lot of chatter about this guy also receiving a long-term extension from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That is left tackle Tristan Wirfs. Now, the Bucs have already agreed to pick up his fifth-year option, but we don't know if he's going to be playing on the fifth-year option. Granted, if he gets a long-term extension, the Bucs can affect his cap hit. The cap hit on that fifth-year option, if I'm not mistaken, is somewhere between $16 to $18 million.
I think it's 18.
Yeah, which, again, is more money that you just do not want on the books. It is not money that you have to be afraid of throwing at that position, but when you're in the financial bind that the Bucks have found themselves in, the more money you can save, the better. So with Tristan Wirfs, this is another guy just like Antoine Winfield Jr., where seemingly any time between now in the start of training camp, I think you could hear about a long-term extension. Have you heard anything? Have we gotten any updates about any type of status for Tristan Wirfs? Because I think the last time we got any official word was when Jason Light had acknowledged that, yes, they are working on a deal at the combine a little over a month ago.
Yeah, and then that was the first, like you said, that was the first acknowledgement when he said, like, look, if we can lock up Mike and Baker and Lavonte and Chase and Antoine and Tristan, right? And the thing about it was he mentioned all those guys and they were pending UFAs, except Tristan Wirfs. Tristan Wirfs was not. So clearly it's something they want to get done. I haven't personally heard any progress towards any deal. But again, there is no, that's the difference between Tristan Wirfs and Antoine Winfield Jr. There is no deadline for the Bucks and Tristan Wirfs to get a deal done. So if like, unlike Antoine Winfield, there is a deadline for, like, there will be a spot where, like, the Bucks won't be able to negotiate with Antoine Winfield Jr., won't be able to sign into a deal after a certain date. Whereas with Tristan Wirfs, that's not the case. So he is headed into his fifth year. He, you know, it's either he plays on that fifth year option or he's going to get a contract extension. I sort of lean towards a contract extension. I think it makes sense. But again, like, just kind of wish, like, why couldn't it have happened 2 weeks ago, right? So give you a little bit more flexibility, maybe add a little bit more depth, or maybe you go out and you sign a bigger money pass rusher or a defensive lineman, or, you know, with you getting rid of one of your corners, maybe you sign another, you know, higher profile corner, or, you know, you sign a higher profile guard or a third wide receiver. Again, it's something to where you choosing not to do it, or maybe, you know, maybe not even choosing, but not being able to get it done, limits your flexibility. But again, I would expect a deal to get done. And I don't, it's just like, I don't think Antoine Winfield Jr. is going to play on the franchise tag. I don't think Tristan Wirfs is going to play on the fifth year option in 2024.
Yeah, if I can make a prediction on this very podcast, Tristan Wirfs, Antoine Winfield Jr., both guys who I believe are going to be a part of this franchise for a very long time. I think Tristan Wirfs, more so than Winfield Jr., is shaping up to be a guy who plays here his entire career. I would
Tristan Wirfs is shaping up, like, Winfield's shaping up to be a good player, but Tristan Wirfs is building like a Hall of Fame type resume
right
right now.
yeah it just I don't want to say a tougher position, but a different position. And when you can maintain a status as one of the best left tackles in the NFL after switching from right tackle the previous season, the guy's on an incredible run, and I hope to see him in the red and pewter for his entire career. Let's move on. More free agency moves. The Buccaneers re-signed Chase McLaughlin to a 3-year, $12.3 million deal. This is an A-. I don't know why I didn't give it an A, to be honest with you. I have nothing but good things to say about Chase McLaughlin, so maybe I will change my ways right here on the spot and make this an A. Because Chase McLaughlin was brought in to do one thing better than Ryan Succop, and that was kick far field goals. And he basically did that and then some. You know, I think, what, 7 for 8 on 50-plus yard attempts last season. Statistically, one of the better seasons by a kicker in Tampa Bay Buccaneers history. It's a 3-year deal, $12.3 million. I mean, I couldn't tell you the last time that we have been on a run with kickers like this, where you go from one guy seemingly being the best kicker in franchise history to Chase McLaughlin, who didn't necessarily outclass him, but out-abilityed him by addressing the length issue the Bucs were having towards the end of Ryan Succop's time in Tampa Bay. I like Chase McLaughlin. I like having him back. I think he earned this contract, every cent of it. So I will change my rating from an A- to an A. Money McLaughlin, dude. I'm glad he's back.
Yeah, I actually, and this is going to be the first like big like discrepancy we have. I did a B+, just because kickers are kind of volatile to me, I guess. Like, it's almost like pitchers in a bullpen. Like there could be, like, you know, one dude has this like incredible year in the bullpen out of nowhere, and the next year he like struggles, right? Like Chase McLaughlin, like, yeah, he was fantastic for the Bucks. Like, I've gone on record as saying like multiple times, like, he was the best free agent that the Bucks signed, like, this past season. Like, it wasn't Baker Mayfield, it wasn't anybody else. Like, it was Chase McLaughlin. Like, he arguably, like, you could argue he was their most consistent player, like, on the entire team. So like, they had to re-sign him, right, with the history that they've had with kickers. But at the same time, like I said, there is, you know, a possibility that, like, Chase McLaughlin comes back down to earth a little bit, and that's why, like, B plus to me is pretty fair. You just hope he's obviously not god awful, right? But he was so good in 2023 that even if he comes back down to earth a little bit, it'll still be like, okay, that's a good kicker, you know? So we'll see how it happens. But he earned the contract. I'm not saying that he didn't earn the contract. And I even say in the article that if he keeps up the pace that he did, you know, in 2023, he could very well go down as one of the best, or not, if not the best kicker in Bucks history. So that's how good he was in 2023. Even if they don't win a championship, like, that dude could be considered like that good. So, like I said, I gave it a B+.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I definitely haven't taken into account the fact that, like you said, he could fall off a cliff next season. He could come back down to earth. He could not be the same kicker. And maybe that's not fair of me to put that expectation on him, but to not put it on a guy like Baker Mayfield when I give my free agency grades. But, oh well, it's my list. It's my grades. So my grade is an A. You've got a B+ for Chase McLaughlin. But regardless, Money Mac back in Tampa Bay as the kicker for the foreseeable future. Love to have him back. This next move, I'm curious if we'll have a discrepancy on this one. The Buccaneers trade Carlton Davis to the Detroit Lions for a third-round pick. Now, let me clarify as well, just like with Antoine Winfield Jr. and we talked about Tristan Wirfs, like, this is one of those things that my grade could be subject to change depending on how this third-round pick shakes out for Tampa Bay. So maybe this grade seems a little bit stiff, but I want to know what you think. The details: the Bucs sent Carlton Davis and a 2024-25 sixth-round pick to the Lions. They received a 2024 third-round pick, which I believe is 92nd?
Yes.
Awesome. Still the 92nd overall pick for Tampa Bay. I gave this a C+. Probably my harshest grade so far. And I gave it a C+ simply because of losing Carlton Davis. I think a lot of people would regard him as maybe overrated by some because of his injury availability these last couple of seasons. I think not being as consistent as he was in some of his more productive seasons with the Bucks. You know, Jamel Dean not really having the strongest season last year, I think, left a different impression on people. Now, the reason I feel this way about this is because, again, it's a third-round pick. You have to see how that shakes out. But if the Bucks get a third-round guy and he doesn't end up playing this season, or he's exactly what you would expect from a third-round pick, which is like maybe some special teams reps, maybe he can be a contributor here and there, but I don't hear third-round pick and think day one starter. Now, this is Jason Light we're talking about, so that could obviously change. But when I hear third-round pick, I don't hear day one starter. The Bucs did try and amend the corner position. They built up the secondary. We'll talk about those moves in a little bit. They did sign Bryce Hall and Tavier Thomas. They brought back Jordan Whitehead, which we'll talk about as well. But I still think there's a possibility that with Jamel Dean at cornerback one, Zion McCollum at cornerback two, and seemingly Bryce Hall at cornerback three, I still get a little bit of an uneasy feeling about this secondary. And we'll talk about the safety room. That's an entirely different conversation. But Zion McCollum, maybe I just don't see what people saw last year. The Bucs apparently very happy with his development in 2023, but I still saw a corner last year get picked on a couple of weeks. And if that guy's your cornerback too next season, and by week 8, week 10, we're still pulling up game film and he's getting picked on by opposing quarterbacks, I don't know if that's going to be a recipe for success, because I don't know if either Tavier Thomas, who's probably going to be in the nickel, or Bryce Hall have the talent to maybe overtake a guy like Zion McCollum on the depth chart and become a CB2, especially if he struggles. What are your thoughts on this secondary, especially with the Carlton Davis mood?
Yeah, I gave it a B plus, and this is actually our biggest discrepancy as far as like grades go. Is I gave it a B plus just because when the trade was first announced, there was no like return. It wasn't like, oh, Carlton Davis going to the Lions, third round pick. It was Carlton Davis to the Lions. When that happened, I assumed they were picking up a fifth round pick, maybe a fourth round pick. That's just sort of how that goes. The fact that they were able to get a third, yeah, they had to trade, you know, two day three picks. At the end of the day, that's not really going to matter. whatever. But a B plus. The reason I didn't give it an A is because, like, yeah, now they have a hole at corner. Now I do think, they really like Zion McCollum. I actually thought McCollum was very improved from year one to year two. That being said, yeah, it is a little bit an uneasy feeling that he is potentially your cornerback too. And of course, just like we mentioned earlier, the NFL draft is a thing. So, like, they could very well, grab a corner early. And that could change the outlook on that room there. But I thought the Carlton Davis thing, not only did it, give you an extra day two pick, but it freed up a little over $6 million in cap space. So it gave you a little bit more flexibility that way. And that's what I was really looking at with this. And that's why I gave it the grade that I did. So as far as the secondary goes, I do like the depth more, obviously, with Bryce Hall and Tavier Thomas. I think if I had to guess, so let's say there are no additions at all. They don't draft anybody. I would say Jamel Dean's your corner one. Zion McCollum's your corner two on the outside. I think Tavier Thomas would probably have the inside track to be that nickel guy. And then you're looking at Bryce Hall being your cornerback four. And then they have a bunch of guys who could play corner or safety, like Dee Delaney, Christian Izzy, and Josh Hayes. So could see sort of a mix there, but. Trading Carlton Davis, obviously, it's not easy, right? He was a mainstay. He was arguably, for a good bit, like their best corner, and maybe he was a little bit overrated by some Bucks fans, but also maybe overhated, I think, by some Bucks fans as well. So, the biggest thing was he wasn't a ball hawk, right? And that really bothered a lot of people. And trust me, like it was frustrating at times as well, but he was a good corner at the end of the day. And I do, and also I'm a sucker for the draft. So getting an extra day two pick, being able to have a little bit more flexibility there. If they want to move up in round one or round two, you have a little bit more flexibility there. So I didn't think it was terrible, but at the same time, like, you're at a day two pick, and that's cool, but you're, again, losing a pretty good football player.
Yeah, you had talked about how Carlton Davis really, I think some people overrated him, but most people definitely overhated him. And I will say that as a lifelong Bucks fan, I think the standard of what a Buccaneer secondary should look like now is different in part because of Carlton Davis. Let's not forget, in 2019, the year before the Bucks won the Super Bowl, most people, I think the NFL.com had released a ranking of the best to worst secondaries in the NFL, and they ranked the Bucks 32 out of 32. Like, before Carlton Davis and before Jamel Dean, this secondary was bad for a very, very long time. Like, there were not any great players coming in and out of this secondary. The last two that come to mind were Aqib Talib and Darrelle Revis, who was a one-year rental. He was a Pro Bowler during his time in Tampa Bay, but after that, I mean, who was the best player in our secondary for 7 years?
I mean, and even you can remember that. Like, and I don't want to spend too much time on this. We got actually a few good bit of moves though,
Yeah.
but Darrelle Revis, like, okay, he was a Pro Bowler on name, basically. Like, it wasn't like he was fine that season, right? Like he was decent, but like, it wasn't like, insane, right? Like, it wasn't like, oh, this is Revis Island. Like,
Yeah.
no, like, he was coming off a major injury and stuff. It was like, that was where, like, the Pro Bowl really was like, oh, if you have a big name, like, you're gonna get in. And
Yeah, but
yeah, it's.
for a couple of years, man, we were watching Deshaun Goldson and Alteron Verner and like Jonathan Banks. Oh God, Jonathan Banks, dude. It was
You're naming some decent players. I'm just saying.
oh.
Like, I'm just saying they're not guys that haven't had their moments. That's all
Yeah,
I'm saying.
no, you are correct. But when you think about those guys being not that bad
Yeah,
compared
dude,
to what
Carlton
else
Davis
we
is better.
had.
Is better. Carlton Davis is better than those guys. Yeah.
Yeah. So I obviously wish Carlton the best. Have to see what happens with that third round pick, but
I mean,
that is the
he's going to a team I think is a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, he
I
is.
mean,
He
he,
is.
yeah, it's.
A good defense. I think a defense that, he's filling a need that with the departure of Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, he can step up and not play the same role, but play a similar role. He's a physical corner. Jamar Chase called him one of the best corners he's ever played against in the NFL. Jamar Chase is not a wide receiver to sneeze at. So, best of luck to him. Let's move on here. We do have a couple of more moves and not a lot of time to get through them, so let's go ahead and rapid fire here. The Bucks re-signed Lavonte David to a one-year, $9 million deal. I gave this an A for a lot of the reasons I gave the Mike Evans deal an A. It's a lifelong Buck. It's a guy that is a pillar of the defensive side of the ball, just like Mike Evans is a pillar on the offensive side of the ball. And he's a guy that I couldn't imagine playing anywhere else. Retirement or Tampa for Lavonte David, and he is back on a one-year deal. Great for the culture, great for the franchise, and great value for the Bucks, as well as Lavonte David getting a little bit of a pay raise, which was deserved, I think, after his consistent performance these last couple of years.
Yeah, he had a better year in 2023 than I think he did in 2022, and maybe even 2021 as well. Like, he was really good this year. I'm not going to spend too much time on this. I gave it an A. It was sort of like, not surprising at all, right? Like, not surprising that Lavonte David returned to Tampa Bay. Just a dude that, like, you can't really picture. I think there was a window, right? There was a window, I believe, might have been right after the Super Bowl, where, like, he was like, oh, Lavonte David might move on. And then it didn't happen. And now you're like, okay, like, he's going to stay the entire time. Like, that's the window that I think that just passed Mike Evans, you know? Lavonte David back, expected, needed to happen. It was either going to be retirement or the Bucks. I think that's going to be pretty much, we're going to have that same conversation next offseason as well, unless he retires, a day after the season. Like, I think you're going to keep having that conversation where it's like, all right, well, if he wants to keep playing football, he'll get a one-year deal in Tampa and stay there.
This was the move of the offseason for me. Mike Evans is one of my favorite players in franchise history, but I had an overwhelming feeling that he was going to be back. I like Baker Mayfield. I'm excited about his contract. I'm excited about having a QB, but I had an overwhelming feeling that he was going to be back. This guy, I came on this podcast 2 weeks in a row, and I said, as much as I would like this to happen, I don't think it happens. And then it happens. The Buccaneers re-sign Jordan Whitehead. They sign former Buck Jordan Whitehead.
They did re-sign him.
They did technically re-sign him. The Bucs signed Jordan Whitehead at safety to a two-year, $9 million deal. I was so stoked about this news. I don't think I've been this excited for a free agent acquisition since I found out we got Tom Brady and then Rob Gronkowski not too long thereafter. Jordan Whitehead is a guy that when he left Tampa Bay, you just knew this defense was going to feel it one way or the other. And they did. You know, you still have Antoine Winfield. You still had guys like Mike Edwards on the roster at the time, still able to make plays and ultimately get their money elsewhere. But Jordan Whitehead is, I just feel like he's a perfect blueprint for the type of safety that you want in a Todd Bowles system. He has talked a lot about Todd Bowles and the success that he has had playing in that hybrid 3-4 system now that he's back in Tampa Bay. I'm excited to just watch him basically kill more running backs in the backfield next season because he is all over the field, and I'm excited to see him return to form here in Tampa Bay because I think they can get the best out of a player like Jordan Whitehead, for sure. It's an A-plus for me. Call me biased. This was the move of the offseason for me. I gave it an A-plus.
The fit was obvious, right? And I ended up giving it an A. I don't believe I gave anything an A-plus. So I gave it an A. It makes too much sense. A decent guy in coverage and zone coverage, but I think where he's really going to help is actually, in run support. He was always a pretty solid run defender, pretty solid, short tackler. And the Buccaneers running defense has, gone down a little bit since 2021 when Jordan Whitehead left. Like, it hasn't been, it was, from 2019 to 2021, that 3-year season, I mean, teams were throwing on the Bucs 50, 60 times a game.
It was incredible. I don't think we've seen any type of statistical run by this defense since I can remember. 2019, 2020, and the tail end of 2021, the Bucs had every single year a top 3 rushing defense in the NFL.
You just couldn't. The offense didn't even try. And I'm not saying just because Jordan Whitehead's back that, they're going to have a top 3 rushing defense. Like, I'm not saying that. There was other pieces to that puzzle, obviously, that, are no longer here or aren't, whatever. But he was a big piece to that. And I think, they spent so long, right? They spent 2 off seasons trying to find a replacement for Jordan Whitehead, trying to find a guy to fill Jordan Whitehead's shoes, that finally they said, okay, let's just bring him back then. Like,
yeah.
Because, you know the fit's obvious next to Antoine Winfield Jr., and it makes sense. The contract is a good one. They didn't really, pay him too much money. I thought the reason he wouldn't return was going to be the money. I thought he was going to maybe get a little bit more than he did on the open market. And essentially, I believe this is like a one-year deal, kind of. There might be some sort of team option for the next year. So if things don't work out, like, you can always move on, or you can have him again for another solid price. So yeah, it's an A for me.
Moving on, we are going to wrap it up with all the depth signings here for the Bucks. Not too much to talk about, but I think we can continue the conversation of what this secondary is going to look like after these moves here. The Bucks signed Jordan Whitehead to a two-year deal, and then after that, I believe the very same week, they pad out the rest of that cornerback depth. They make a
move. They just wanted all the Jets.
Yeah, right. They sign former Jet, former teammate of Jordan Whitehead, who played two seasons with him in New York, Bryce Hall. And then they bring in former Houston Texan Tavier Thomas to a one-year deal. Tavier Thomas has been talked about before as being one of those guys who could potentially fit into that nickel role, which the Bucks have had a nice rotation of talent. I don't want to say that the nickel has made stars on this defense, because stars is a little bit of a stretch, but when you think about guys that have been serviceable in that position going back to the Super Bowl team, you think about guys like Christian Izian stepping up, having success early in the season last year as an undrafted free agent rookie. You think about D. Delaney, who, again, is still on this team. Like, not enough people talk about D. Delaney and how good he has been for the Bucks in a depth role. No, he's not a star. He's not an all-star, but he has stepped up when they needed them, and I think building depth at that position where you've been able to find talent before is going to go a long way. So I'm excited about Tavier Thomas. I'm somewhat excited about Bryce Hall. I gave this move a B, but again, all of this factors into what I had said before about Carlton Davis and how I don't know how strongly I feel with a cornerback room of Jamel Dean 1, Zion McCollum potentially 2, Tavier Thomas and or Bryce Hall at 3, Thomas more than likely playing the nickel, but like, what are your thoughts on just these depth guys really quickly?
Yeah, so I gave him individual grades. I did a B for Hall and a B plus for Thomas. Just because I think Thomas probably plays a little bit of a bigger role than Bryce Hall does for this team. I think, like I said, there's a good chance that Tavier Thomas could be this team's starting nickel, and to sign him to a 1 year deal, that works for me. So Bryce Hall is a guy who is a lengthy corner. It just presents solid depth, and depth that I don't know if they've sort of tried to makeshift it a little bit, in past years with, we're gonna have Christian Izian, an undrafted rookie, as our starting nickel, and then we're gonna have D. Delaney is a safety but can play corner, and then we're gonna have Ross Cockrell and stuff. And to me, like, these are two like solid veterans that have been in death roles before, and know what to do in that position. So I think they're both fine deals. Like I said, I only gave Thomas the slight bump over Hall because I think Thomas probably plays a bigger role than Hall does.
In the trenches on the other side of the football, the Buccaneers brought in a couple of offensive linemen, Ben Bredesen and Sua Opeta, both one-year deals for those guys. Now, I grouped these together and I rated them together, so I'm just going to give this a B-. I like it. B-, it's one of those moves where it feels like maybe there were better options out there. There were definitely worse options out there, but when you consider that I don't think you want to see both of these guys starting in the fall. I think if week four comes around and you've got both Ben Bredesen and Sua Opeta on the active game day roster starting, something has gone wrong, seemingly in training camp battles with the talent that you already have at those guard spots, or injuries, God forbid. So I'll give them a B-. I think if they're both on the field at the same time, it's not a good thing. Just because, these guys were available for as long as they were, and they were able to be picked up for as cheap as they were. So your thoughts on some extra camp bodies here in Bredesen and Opeta?
Yeah, we sort of mentioned that about like Matt Filer last year, right? We're like, he's been a starter before, like he's a solid veteran, but like he signed for the vet minimum. Like, why? like why did nobody else want him, right? Matt Filer was not very good for the Buccaneers.
Yeah, we found out pretty quickly.
we found out why. I gave Bredesen a C+, and I gave Opeta a B+. I'll tell you what, I even mentioned this in my article, just a little snippet here. Bredesen's probably best served as a reserve. We can call off the bench in a pinch and play, but Opata is interesting. He was a solid backup for the Eagles and started some times for them, but Philly has one of the best and deepest O-lines in the NFL. Is it possible that Opetta could be this year's Shaq Barrett for Tampa Bay, a guy who has talent but did not get as much opportunity because of the situation he was in? Not saying Opetta is going to be great. He may not even be the starter, but there is some potential there. I think he's like 27, 28 years old, pretty similar to the age that Shaq Barrett was when he signed with the Buccaneers. So I'm not saying he is Shaq Barrett. I'm just saying there are some parallels there that, like, maybe just giving this dude more opportunity is going to result in him being a, not even like, okay, Shaq Barrett came in at 19 and a half sacks. I'm not saying Opetta is going to come in and be a Pro Bowl guard, but maybe, like, yeah, he's like not a bad left guard, like he's a fine option at left guard that you can figure out center. So Opetta is the one name. Bredesen, he's somebody that you probably don't want starting, but Opetta to me is like, yeah, that has a little bit of juice there to me.
Yeah, and I think the idea that he can come in here and win some jobs come training camp is going to be exciting to some. Like I said, you don't want both of them to be starting. I mean, Bredesen, as you had said, more of a depth piece, less of a starter. He was available for a reason. But Opetta, I think if these camp battles come around, we know that Nick Leverett is no longer in Tampa Bay. We know that Aaron Stinney, I believe, no longer in Tampa Bay. So there's going to be some new faces in the mix for that starting guard job. Rob Hainsey, after playing 2 years of center for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, more than likely going to be moving positions. I don't want to speak, for sure.
I don't know if he's moving positions, but I don't know if he's your starter week one.
Yeah,
So.
I mean, it's obviously going to depend on what the Bucs do in the draft. That'll
Center
kind of,
is going to be a spot where they look to draft.
Yeah, I think, depending on how they address that here in a couple of weeks, it's going to tell you a lot about what kind of aspirations they have for Big Bob Hainsey, but I don't think he's your starting center next year. I think he could be in play for a backup center spot, but it's one of those things where if you need more bodies, if you need him to get involved in the guard battles, he's been there, done that before. He's a guy with experience, and I think if Opetta comes in and he can win these guard jobs and you hear reports coming out of camp that, like, hey, he's going to be the guy at guard, then I think, what you had said bodes well. I think the ability for him to come in here and potentially be a starter, just because of the situation he was in over at Philly, very, very good point. So I give it a B minus. I think you said what? A B plus for Opetta and a.
Yeah, and a C plus for Bredesen there.
All right. So let's go ahead.
Yeah, we're just gonna run over these really
so
quick.
We got a couple of more signings, and people in chat have been begging us to get to these guys. These are clearly
there's one person in
chat. It's the all stars that we've been holding out on you for. So I'm just gonna group them all together. The Buccaneers re-signed defensive lineman Greg Gaines, running back Chase Edmonds, quarterback John Walford, and offensive lineman Justin Skuel. All depth signings, really, to wrap things up on the free agency grade show. I gave this collective move together, I know it's kind of cheating, but I gave it a B-. Again, same reason I did with the Ben Bredesen and Sua Opetta. I think the upside of Sua Opetta is different when you're talking about what he can bring to the table compared to like a Greg Gaines or a Chase Edmonds or a John Walford or a Justin Skuel. These guys are quite literally reserve depth backup roles. Greg Gaines, a rotational talent, did play well enough last season to get another deal with Tampa Bay. Love to see him back. I'm a big fan of Chase Edmonds. Happy to see him back. I think depending on if they decide to address the running back room any further, if Edmonds has a big role next season, I like what he showed me in 2023. He was a high yards per carry guy. I know it's all situational. I know it all depends on when you get in the game. But regardless, when you get in the game, you got to make a play. And I thought Chase Edmonds did that more than a few times last season. John Walford, QB3, maybe QB2, probably going to be your QB3 for another season in a row. And then Justin Skuel. What can you say? I gave it a B-. Solely depth moves. Could have been better. Could have been worse. Here we are. What do you think?
Yeah, I gave Gaines a C+, Edmonds a B-, Walford a B+, and Skuel a C. So, yeah.
Cool. So
that wraps it up, and that wraps up free agency, too. So
yeah, that is the end of free agency, which means it is officially time to shift our coverage.
The Bucs can sign anybody at any point. Like, which just, and if they do, we'll cover it. Just, you know, the free agency period is, you know, it's on to the draft now. And I think a lot of teams are sort of going to be in that mode of like, okay, like we could sign this free agent, but let's see if what happens in the draft first. And we'll see if, you know, we can get them afterwards.
To put an overall grade on the 2024 Tampa Bay Buccaneers free agency, Jason Light in the front office. I do think this is one of the more productive years they have had. One of the more exciting years when you didn't expect it to be that. And maybe I get more excited than the next guy re-signing all of our guys. Like, that was kind of what got people excited the first half of it, was bringing back Baker Mayfield, bringing back Mike Evans, bringing back Lavonte David, bringing back Bucks legend Money Mac Chase McLaughlin. You know, all of these things were super important, and I think they bode well for how the Bucks are going to grade out, because I said it before, I'll say it again. If you give any other team in the NFL the free agency that the Bucks have had, addressing the positions that they have, re-signing a guy like Mike Evans, signing a guy like Lavonte David, bringing in Jordan Whitehead, securing a kicker that has the prowess of a guy like Chase McLaughlin, at least going off of his 2023 statistics, I think the Bucks had an A-minus free agency. I think it is... Don't even say that I'm biased. I think it's a top five free agency in the NFL. Quite frankly, I do not think Jason Light has gotten the respect that he deserves. I don't think it was the best, but I think when you look around at other teams who had way more capital and are still a couple of weeks away from the draft saying, all right, we've got a position hole here, we've got holes here, we need to address this here. You know, Washington is a team that I think of where, like, they had kind of an impressive free agency. They signed a lot of big names, but there's still a lot of holes on that roster. Like, I don't see them putting together as cohesive as a product as the Bucks did. And I will give them an A-minus overall, top five free agency. I'm not sure how they ranked among all of the different platforms and publications. Depending on who you read is likely going to be a different story about how the Bucks fared in free agency. But Evan, to wrap things up, I want to know how you think the Buccaneers overall free agency graded out this year.
Yeah, I would probably give him an A-. I think that's fair. Obviously, bringing back the guys they did, and you know, also adding guys like Jordan Whitehead, and then like guys that like can contribute, right? Jordan Whitehead's going to contribute. Tavier Thomas might contribute. Heck, you know, Sua Peta might contribute. So, and then re-signing the guys they did, I think an A- is completely fair.
All right, cool. Well, the collective grade here on the Can of Fire podcast. I wish I had more special effects for you. I'd slap it on the screen, but it's an A- from all of us here at the Cannon Fire podcast. Chuck Huffmaster in the chat says he gives it an A. Mikey Kelly says he's a huge Greg Gaines fan. Doug Phantom 9 says the Bucks need to get new cornerbacks. They all suck. I don't necessarily agree, but we'll see what that depth looks like here over the first half of the season. You know, I think expecting road bumps early in the season is always normal, especially when you've got new guys back there. But we will see. We shall see. But ladies and gentlemen, that should just about do it for this week's episode of the Cannon Fire podcast. Want to again acknowledge and say thank you to everybody hanging out with us in the live chat. Our buddy MK, Mikey Kelly, Richard T on the West Coast. You always need to pause for dramatic effect. That's what he does. Yeah. Doug Phantom 9, Al Bundy, anybody else that I may have missed, Sal 319, Daniel Edmond, Josue Ortiz. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. Follow the show on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. All of those are Cannon Fire Podcast. Best place to go for updates on the show. And of course, Tampa Bay Buccaneer news as it happens. You can find more Bucs news as it happens over on Instagram at Bucs_daily, the number one Buccaneers fan page on Instagram. You can also find Evan on Twitter at EvanNFL and check out his written work at BucsNation.com. It's like Christmas for you, my friend. We talk about it every single year, but it is officially draft month. I think every podcast moving forward is going to be some kind of draft coverage, we love it. And do you have anything in the hopper, whether for the podcast or for BucsNation.com? What can the fans expect?
Yeah, so I might end up doing like kind of like a combined thing to where. So we're doing on the website, we're doing the draft profiles of prospects that could make sense for the Buccaneers. And so far, I have two out right now. It's Blake Corum, the running back from Michigan, and Chop Robinson, the edge rusher from Penn State. So I do have a couple more who I'm not going to reveal who they are. I know who they are because I've been, scheduled them, but I'm not going to reveal who they are. But I will be doing probably videos on that. So yeah, just stay tuned for that.
Awesome. And last but not least, you can find myself Instagram and Twitter at Redicus, RHETTAKUS. If you follow me, I will follow you back. We still have some people in here. And to be honest with you, I just wanted an excuse to show off my sports cards. Draft season is coming up. So if you are a football fan, now might be the perfect time for me to sell my J.J. McCarthy. I don't know how much longer it's going to be worth something.
I do it right after he's picked.
Yeah. Shout out to the Bubba Army repacks. I just wanted to show you guys. We got an autographed 1 of 10 J.J. McCarthy pro set. And then let me take a look here. This is not an expensive card, but I love this card. It's a Mike Evans rookie insert. Again, not an insert from any official game or event. Like, most of these inserts are crap. But I like Mike Evans. I like the card, so why not? And then I thought these were dope. I got him from my buddy Big Country. I traded him an Anthony Richardson rookie card. And in return, I got two autographs here from Buccaneers rookie, now second-year players, excuse me, Yaya Diaby and Kalijah Kancey there. You got to love the signatures, right? Automania. So, I mean, it's a little more of a gimmick card, but I don't care, man. I like the players. I like the autograph. It is what it is. If you are sports card geeks, let us know in the comments. Let us know your thoughts. Let us know if you have anything from your personal collection that you would like to showcase. And get at us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. If you tag us at Cannon Fire Podcast, chances are we will post your stuff. We appreciate you guys. Thank you again for listening. I'm your host, Rhett Matthews, signing off for my co-host, Evan Wanish. We will talk to you in the next one. Until then, and as always, thank you again, and we'll see you soon.